on a weekly basis, what I've decided to do is read from my book, Searching for Significance, A Devotional Journey Through Ecclesiastes.
Oh, I will sing a sweet song of love, a sweet song of love to my King. For His love is holy, and His love is pure. It knows no boundaries of time.
Sing that with me, folks.
I will sing a sweet song of love, a sweet song of love to my King. For His love is holy, and His love is pure. It knows no boundaries of time. Oh, I will sing a sweet song of love, a sweet song of love to you, King Jesus. For your love is holy, and your love is pure. It knows no boundaries or time. I love you, for you are mine. Oh, I love you, for you are divine. I'll love you forever, I know. My Jesus, I love you so. Yes, Jesus, we love you so.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful day. Hallelujah, March 12th, 2024. I thank you for those that are listening right now, tomorrow, in the future, wherever they may be, whatever they're experiencing in their lives, Lord. We know this is only a temporary place that we're in this world. We know that this is only a temporary passing through of this life that we're going through. Oh God, I just ask that you would reach out with these simple words I share today, and that you would just bless your people, minister to your people, give them the answers that they may be seeking, Lord. Help us as we begin a new journey in your word today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your wisdom. Hallelujah. We just ask for wisdom. We just ask for divine enlightenment. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening, wherever you might be. This is the Great Matt Guide from the Kingdom Corner Podcast. Hello to all you members, devotees, and followers. Hallelujah. Today I'm excited because we're going to start a brand new direction. We finished up about gratitude, having an attitude of gratitude, the end of last year, even into February, the first part of February. And I just wasn't sure what to do. I have a lot of projects lined up for this new year that I'm excited about. But I did not want to go away from my podcast, the Kingdom Corner Podcast, because it's something that I've done for the last 4 years. Thank you, Jesus. And it's something I want to continue to do, to continue to expound the Word of God that He has given me and to encourage the brethren, as it were. And I just hit upon something. I don't know why I didn't think about it in this way before, that I think would be such a blessing for all of us to go through. Today, after much thought, I've come up with a new direction for us to pursue at the Kingdom Corner podcast. As I said, I just finished up a series on the gratitude, attitude of gratitude. And now I wanted to go into something new that just came to me. For your perusal, there are over 130 episodes in the Kingdom Corner podcast on Captivate FM, and you can get it where you download your podcasts. So it came to me, why should I reinvent the wheel? I already have some information. I already have some valuable studies for you to look at. And that's all still available today. We can talk about that as we go on in this series that I'm starting, how you might view that, how you might look at that, how you might get some valuable pearls from that I believe God gave me back in that season, because I think it's still very timely for today. Having said all this, on a weekly basis, what I've decided to do is read from my book, Searching for Significance, A Devotional Journey Through Ecclesiastes. Read a chapter a week. And then at the end of that, I will provide 2 to 3 questions for you to respond to. And all this will be in the show notes in my podcast on Captivate FM. You can find it. And I have already a Facebook group that I haven't used much that's set up that we can interact in. You can answer the questions there. You can even go live and answer the questions that I ask each week. And I'll put that in the show notes, but it's Understanding Times and Seasons. Understanding Times and Seasons. And that's on Facebook. Also, I just am so excited because this goes right along with this, I believe. I'm so very excited today because this is really coming together now. For the more serious student that's really interested in a deeper study of the Word of God, in mid-April, I'm so excited, we'll be launching the Heavenly Call of Ephesians Live, weekly coaching and discussion on Facebook and probably Riverside. I'm here at Riverside or Zoom, but I prefer Riverside. And we're going to dive into the book of Ephesians. I have over 40 lessons there for us to dive into and to dissect. And what we'll do is we'll take one week by week, a portion of scripture, and then every other week we'll get together as a group and discuss what we found from my teaching in the first week. I don't want to just be like a talking head that all I do is teach you. The beauty of this kind of setting is we can have interaction. And, you know, I took a lady through this last year, the last 2 years, and it was so beautiful because even by the end, toward the end of that or toward the middle of going through Ephesians, we let her teach. She taught me. I would say, study this portion of scripture for a week and let's get back together and it's your turn to teach me. And I got so much out of that. Because I am a called teacher. I believe I hold the office, and I don't say it to brag, the office of teacher. But I've learned over the years, over 50 plus years, I've learned that I can learn from anybody. And I'd be doing a great disservice if you come to take this coaching class and we do not have interaction with each other. We do not have koinonia with each other. Amen? I will include more details about the upcoming Ephesians coaching class. I'm so excited about that. As I said, I've been studying Ephesians for the coaching class, but also I pulled out my book and my notes from Ecclesiastes in the last month, and all of a sudden I had some light bulb moments because I've been looking at both Ecclesiastes and Ephesians, and they both are interrelated in some ways. At first glance, you might not think so. Maybe from your study, if you've ever studied much of Ecclesiastes, it's about the life of Solomon taking a look at things when basically he'd backslidden from God. And the phrase, under the sun, I look at things under the sun, he said, is mentioned almost 30 times in those 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes. At first glance, you wouldn't think there was much that we could get out of that, but there is. There's so much is. And there's also some real parallels, and I'm going to go through that right now. I thought this was beautiful. I was studying this today. I want to go through these parallels between Ecclesiastes and Ephesians and just connect some things together for you that maybe you hadn't thought of, that I hadn't thought of until I started to really study it today and this week. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, and verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, and verse 11. And I am reading the Amplified Classic Version, and this is a passage you all probably know really well. Some say it's the best-known passage in the Bible. To everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose unto heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, that I'm just going to make a comment there. This was Solomon's view of the world as he looked out upon it, and he's probably thinking back of all the things he went through in his life, how his children were born, how crops were raised and grown in the kingdom, different things that he'd done. Maybe he'd lost loved ones, you know, so there was weeping, but also he had great joy. Maybe saw some of his relatives married. He got married as well, you know, and he learned because he was called the greatest man of wisdom in all the world and all of time, except for Jesus Christ. So he really knew when to speak and when to shut up, didn't he? And a time for war and a time for peace, you know, or love. And his name meant peace. So because of the great bloodshed and his father David was such a warrior, there was peace in the kingdom for the 40 years that Solomon reigned. Now let's look at verse 11. He, that is God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. That is a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy, yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Let's read verse 11 again, the first portion of it. He, that is God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He's planted eternity like a seed in men's hearts and minds. A divinely implanted sense of purpose. Working through the ages, that's through all of mankind, I'm just preaching here a little bit, from when Adam was created clear up to today, while you're here on this podcast, he's put a sense of purpose inside of you that he wants to bring out of you through all the ages, for all men and women, not just a few, not just the great ones we think of, the Abraham Lincolns, you know, the Benjamin Franklins, Jesus Christ, the apostles, but he has a sense of purpose for all of us that he's prepared for us, that he's put inside our hearts. You know, he has put eternity, it says in another translation, in their heart. It has to do with purpose. It has to do with we are eternal being, okay? So that's, you know, a great subject in Ecclesiastes is time. You know, knowing the time that it is, like the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament, they knew the seasons and the time, what Israel was to do. That's what it said about the tribe of Issachar. They had great wisdom about that. But let's compare that to Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 11. We're talking about God implanting purpose in your heart. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery. See, this was Paul's calling, to open up the mystery of his will. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was given the task of opening up the mysterion, as the Greek says, that thing that was shrouded and covered over for hundreds of years, but became clear when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and Paul was given a mission of opening that up to the world, to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews. According to the purpose, here we go again with purpose. We're talking about purpose up there in Ecclesiastes, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. Remember, we talked about God implanting purpose in us in Ecclesiastes, which he set forth in Christ. Amen? He's put that in our hearts to know it, and it's been revealed in Christ, we could say, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance. Here we are, we're talking about purpose again, predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things to the counsel of his will. Do you know you've been predestined for a purpose, friend? If you don't know what that is today, that's why you're here. God wants to show you his purpose. He has a purpose for your life. You have a free will, but he also has a purpose for you if you will yield to it. Amen? You know, he's planted that in your heart, that sense that there's something more to life, something more for you to do. He talks about in Ecclesiastes, but the mysterion under Paul and under Jesus Christ was revealed in the new covenant because Jesus died for our sins so we could be reconciled and have relationship with God and then begin to find our purpose, our calling. You know, I talk a lot about that in the Ephesians course, in the Ephesians lessons that I go through. I'm so excited. It's my favorite New Testament book, maybe my favorite book in the Bible. I love Ecclesiastes. I love the Psalms, but there's so much there. Let's go on. 16 times in Ecclesiastes, the word time or season, I'd say time, is mentioned. Verse 17 of Ecclesiastes, we're back to 17 again, talking about time, actually, or season, or purpose. I think time and season. Ecclesiastes 3:17, I said in my heart, this is Solomon talking, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. There's a time, like the first verses in chapter 3, the first after verses 1 through 8 talk about that. All those things we go through in life, getting married, having children, going through crisis. That's what we go through in this life. And he says, you know, just like we see what's going on in the world now, you know, it just seems like the world is running, you know, running pell-mell to destruction, to do evil, you know. And God says right here, whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing. You know, if you follow after God, the wise heart will know the proper time and just way about all these things. I don't understand all that's going on now. I don't know what's going to happen in the end, but the wise heart will know, because they know God, the proper time and the just way. We'll know what to do in this time, like the sons of Issachar. You know, we'll know what to do, you know. We don't have to lift our hand in our own flesh to try to solve everything and to try to fight everything. You know, that's what they did in Jesus' time. They thought he was the Messiah that was going to overthrow the Roman government, but it didn't work out that way. He came for a spiritual kingdom. He came for a spiritual, to set that up spiritually for that purpose. Oh, let's not miss out on God's timing, because we see so many things in the world that look so wrong right now. And let's not get bitter about it. Let's trust the Lord with it. That doesn't mean we ignore it, but we trust the Lord, right, in what's going on. And he, by his Spirit, will reveal to us how things should be, right, and what should be done. Ecclesiastes 8:5, whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing. I think I read that. And the wise heart will know the proper time and way. Ecclesiastes 3:17, I said in my heart, God will, and this is the one I wanted to really touch on that I'm talking about now. God will judge the righteous and the wicked. You know, he sees what's going on. In his time, he'll mete out the proper judgment. There is a time for every matter and for every work. Amen? There's a time for every matter and every work, and it's in God's hands. Again, that doesn't mean that we just passively sit by and do nothing, but at the same time, we don't, you know, get all our guns out and go down and, you know, and do something, you know, that would be wrong. You know, we have to be led of God. Let's go to Ephesians then, and here's a parallel passage. Ephesians 1, 9 to 10. Making known to us the mystery of his will. That mysterion, that thing that Paul was called to uncover for you and I, for the Gentile church, for all the world. He's making it known to us, the mystery of his will. We can know what that is, according to his purpose. We talked about that already in Christ. That's where it's revealed. As a plan, here we go. We're talking about time. When is it? For the fullness of time. For the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. There's a fullness of time. And when I'm talking about the timing of God a lot in my lessons and in my teaching and preaching, I talk about surfing. Have you ever tried surfing? I was in Hawaii once years ago. And I'm kind of an average in my younger days. I was an average athlete, so I thought I'd try surfing. And you know, I just got slammed under the waves a lot, you know? And the guy that took me out, he was trying to teach me that there's timing involved in surfing. You know, if you go too soon to try to catch a wave, you'll crash. And that's what was happening to me. If there's a beautiful wave and you're hesitant and pull back, you miss that wave. So there's a fullness of time that God has for us, for his plan. And he's revealing that to us, I believe, in this day. I really do. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming or making best of the time. Why? This really applies now, I believe, because the days are evil. Make the best use of your time. Redeem that time. It's a picture of ladies in that time period going to the market on a certain day when they could get the best deals and buying those up at the right time. If they didn't go on that certain market day, they wouldn't get the best deals. We need to redeem time like that. It's precious. You know, you can maybe make your money back. You can maybe redeem relationships. But when you've lost time, you've lost it. It's gone. So Ecclesiastes 9:12. I thought this was a real slap in the face, as much of Ecclesiastes is. For man, and this is man under the sun, this is man without a relationship for God. Maybe even Solomon was talking about himself because he was away from God. Man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net and like birds that are caught in a snare. Wow, can you just picture that? They don't realize that's going to happen, do they? You know? So the children of men are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. Wow. Wow, that's what's going on today, you know? And I would say to you that you don't have to be, as Ecclesiastes 9:12, you don't have to be snared in an evil time. You can know, as the children of, as the sons of Issachar knew, the times and the seasons of what Israel, spiritual Israel, of what God's people should do, right? Now, let's finish this up. These contrasts, this is a contrast, the next one, these comparisons, because I think this next one, you know, when we're teaching in the Bible, when I'm teaching things in the Bible, I think sometimes we can teach a contrasting thing or two opposite things, and it really can open our eyes up in a more enlightened way to real truth. So I think there's real contrast between Ecclesiastes and Ephesians. I found that in there. I found the parallels. I read that to you already. Now let's look at the contrasts. Ecclesiastes 1:3. This is Solomon looking, you know, in his world away because he's backslidden. What does man gain by all the toil of which he toils under the sun? That phrase, under the sun, viewing things under the sun. Here's another verse. What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. That phrase, under the sun, looking at things under the sun, is mentioned about 30 times in this book of Ecclesiastes because that's his viewpoint. He's away from God. He's seeing it in the flesh. He's seeing it from the negative mind. Maybe in some ways that's why I kind of gravitate toward this book, because my personality, and God is helping me, is just the way I was born and created, is more of a realist kind of guy, more of a Thomas kind of guy, more of a guy that is more, they would say if they tested me, that I'm melancholy. I'm very cerebral. I figure things out. I look at all the different details, which is good, but I'm too melancholy at times. I'm too much under the sun at times. But there's another way to look at things. And that's what Ephesians 1:3 brings into play. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Not under the sun. We've been, because we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've come to Him. We're now in heavenly places. That's where we live out of and walk out of. If you don't know Jesus today, you can come to Him. You can ask Him into your heart. You can accept the blood that He shed on the cross for your sin. And it says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You can do that today. I'd encourage you to do that so you can have and be seated, have a heavenly view, because you're seated in heavenly places. When you're up there in the heavens, you know, if we say that's up, it's really not up. It's another dimension, actually. But if we said that was up, you're watching, you're seeing everything, you know, an overview of everything. You're not caught up in the forest, as it were. You're not caught up in all the trees. You're seeing a whole overview of everything. And that's what God sees. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 continues the theme. He's raised us up in heavenly places to be with Christ. And then also in Ephesians 3, verse 10, that through the church, you know, the wisdom and the power of God might be shown in the heavenly places. Ephesians 3, 7, 8 through 10. Actually, Ephesians 3, 7 through 10. And I finished with verse 10 because I didn't want to just go through all of that. So that's part A and B. A was what we're getting into. B was a little Bible study there. Now let's finish up. We've almost been 30 minutes. Let's see how far we get with this. I told you that we would begin to read through my great book, Searching for Significance, A Devotional Journey Through Ecclesiastes, week by week. And so that's what I want to begin to do. Part of the introduction was to read those scriptures, Ecclesiastes and Ephesians, compared and contrasted. Now we want to go here, and I want to begin to read my book from my book to you, okay? And we're just going to read the introduction today. I don't think it will take very long, and then we will be finished for today, and I will have some questions for you to answer. They'll be in the show notes, and you can also go, like I said, to what did I say? I have to look. Understanding Times and Season. Understanding Times and Seasons on Facebook. That's a Facebook group, and you can answer the questions there, type them out. We've always been encouraged in groups I've been in to get on and do a live, you know, Facebook video. You could do that. That would be great. But either way, I want you to respond to the questions at the end. So let's go ahead and I'll read this to you and then we'll be done. We've been here 30 minutes. So let's just go like this. Matthew P. Guybe, that's me, is a minister and teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have taught as a compassionate and exegetical Bible teacher in a number of churches over the past 40 years. I'm a father, grandfather, and loving husband, and I reside 40 miles southeast of Seattle, Washington. I'm a founder, a founding member, I should say, of, well, I'm a founder of the Kingdom Corner podcast that has been online since September of 2019. I'm also a coach and a teacher, counselor in the King's Company. The King's Company, that's headed up by Apostle Tyler Frick. I would say he was one of the main inspirations for me writing this book, Apostle Tyler Frick. So we'll mention him. I'm sure we'll talk more about the King's Company as we go along. Very good resource for you, as well as the Kingdom Corner podcast, as well as the up-and-coming Ephesians coaching. Here's the preface of my book. That's all I'm going to read today. The beginning of what I call my writer's journey for this devotional book was birthed within me over 60 years ago in the spring of 1958, when I was adopted by my mother and father. I was a PK, a preacher's kid. My mom was raised by a preacher. I was brought up in the Midwest in a very conservative Christian home. We went to the local Presbyterian church every Sunday, where I first learned of the love of Jesus and committed my life to Jesus publicly when I was 9 years of age at a Billy Graham movie. I have been a Bible teacher for 48 years, now it's been longer, probably more like 52, in several churches, and even served as a pastor for 10 years in one fellowship. Being a student of the Word of God around 20 years ago, now it's probably more like 25 years ago, I began an intensive study of the book of Ecclesiastes and taught a Wednesday evening class about Solomon, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes for 3 years. This book, Searching for Significance, a devotional journey through Ecclesiastes, came to fruition this summer, or this past summer. I should say, actually, in the summer of 2019. It's not only based on my years of study on the topic, but fresh, timely, inspirational insights the Father has given me over this time. Again, through my association with the pastor, teacher, Apostle Tyler Frick, and another lady from Lazarus Tribe Media that helped me publish the book. She's been a publisher, Rachel Newman. Meeting these two individuals, plus many other like-minded saints from the King's Company, a fellowship created by Apostle Tyler in 2018, breathed fresh life into my Christian experience and has given me the boldness and courage to share the message I carry within me for the 21st century church. When I began to write this book, it was just to be a meditative devotional experience for me as I was reading through Ecclesiastes in June and July of 2019. I was reading through Ecclesiastes for just devotional purposes. It seemed that God began to give me fresh insight and revelation that I began to commit to a daily journal. In these contemplative times, I could start to see the need for others to be encouraged from what I was gleaning. For many, a devotional book on Ecclesiastes may seem absurd because so many Bible scholars and students know how melancholy and cynical Solomon is throughout his treatise on the vanity of life under the sun, as he called his daily experiences toward the end of his life. However, this is the very heart of the message that I see in Ecclesiastes that makes it such a significant and timely story for us. Our lives today, even though 2,900 years removed from the time of Ecclesiastes and Solomon, are not much different. We are all on a search, as Solomon was, to find the meaning and purpose of life. At times we sit back in smug and seemingly apathetic denial, saying to our friends, if they ask us, how are you? Well, I'm great. All is well with my soul. When in fact we are hurting and crying inside. Solomon's Ecclesiastes discourse and writings, to me, is a desperate, authentic, and unashamed cry to find meaning and purpose in life on this earth. I so appreciate the honesty I've found within this book. Yes, Solomon is very vocal in saying over 30 times that life and what he is experiencing is meaningless, without purpose. For me, that is where our personal journey, our personal search for significance must begin. I would ask you, the reader, to be honest. If you find your life currently without dreams to live for, or you have lost your way like a ship without a rudder, drifting along, then my prayer is that this simple book about Solomon's purpose, my devotional book here, about Solomon's purpose and pursuit of the meaning of life will compel you to see all that God has for you. Something significant at times is not always self-evident or easily recognized by us in all the confusion and chaos that we have going around us every day. However, now is your time to find what is significant for you and about your unique individual purpose God has created you for. He is waiting to take your hand and walk with you on this journey. All you need to do is say yes. And then, since I first began this journey in July 2019 to write these meditations of what would become this book, the times and seasons we find ourselves living in have definitely changed. We are currently in what Solomon would say was a day of adversity. And when I wrote this, COVID-19 had started, but now, wow, things have just accelerated, I think, so much. You know, men calling black things white and white things black, and just evil upon evil being committed. And I don't want to enumerate all those things that I see now for you. I've made a study of it. And God has convicted me at times that I get too involved in looking at it all because of the cerebral being that I am, because I got to know. But you can only know so much. Can't do much about everything. I mean, you can do some things to be prepared, but you know, just looking at that stuff all the time isn't going to be the solution. You know, I'll just say that. I'm just talking to you now. I believe we are now, I put down here for COVID-19 because we're all locked in our houses in a parenthesis. I don't know if we're so much in a parenthesis right now. You know, we may be like I saw on the movie the other night. We may be like on that wild river that's getting more and more wild, and the rapids are getting more and more wild and more fast. We're rushing in that river and we're going toward the falls, ready to go over the falls. We may be there now. I don't know. We can only pray that God would help us, that God would, like I said so much already, that God would let us have the wisdom that the sons of Issachar had to know the times and seasons, and would give us peace in this time as well. You know, he doesn't want us to look at all these things. He wants us to see them and be aware of them and know about those things. But then we cast them upon him and we ask for his wisdom of what we should be doing, right? You know, we don't do nothing. We don't sit on our hands. Possibly we need to prep a little bit, you know, have some food set aside, have some water set aside, you know, have a plan of some sort, but not become so thoroughly involved in that we forget about God, because that's not going to be the answer. And I'm going on and on here. So let me go on. Let me finish this out. I believe we are now, you know, like the falls, like the rapids rushing toward the fall, you know, in our lives, where God wants us to, we better seriously sit down and contemplate what he would have us to do individually as a nation. And I would say at Adhere as the church, as a community of believers. Hopefully you have a community you can rely on that you can call out to. Hopefully this crisis can be similar to a slap in the face that I see the message of Ecclesiastes. It's negative, but it's a slap in the face to us to wake up where God is wanting to wake us all up and say, and I think this is so applicable. God asked me this question one day when I was finishing the book. And so I wrote it out this way. This is what my answers were, you know, or what he was saying to me: Matt, here am I. I am your God. I'm in control. I am here for you if you will just turn to me. Let me read that last phrase again. I am here for you if you will just turn to me. And that is the preface to my book, Searching for Significance, Devotional Journey Through Ecclesiastes, that I'm so excited to begin to read to you each week, share different things, just read it, maybe share some things from additional things from my heart that God, reveals to me or puts inside of me to share that week. But here are your first questions, questions one or two for the prefaces that, again, you can go to understanding the times and seasons, in Ecclesiastes on Facebook, understanding the times and the seasons. Go to that group and you can answer these questions. We will write them up and put them there, but I also will have all this in the show notes as well. Number one, in the summer of 2019, when I began to read through and journal my thoughts from Ecclesiastes, I myself would have never dreamed those thoughts would turn into this book. Having said that, my question to you is, what things are you doing currently, reading, studying, meditating on God with, that you could develop into a creative project to share with the world? A podcast, a video, a blog, a newsletter, or even a book? What would God tap you heart and on the shoulders and say, my son, my daughter, I have something that you could share with the world from your own experiences, right? So let me read that last part again. Having said that, what things are you doing currently? Are you reading? Are you studying? That you could create a make a creative project with, a podcast, a video, a blog, or book to share with the world? And then the number two on the question, the second question, today, just today, this day, March 12th is when I'm talking here, is when I'm expounding here. Today, March 12th, 2024, just how are you doing mentally, physically, spiritually, through all the craziness we see going on, happening right now? Do you have the faith in God that He is in control? Do you have that faith? Do you have that assurance? Just answer that, yes or no. And then why or why not? Why or why not? It'd be good for you to expound on that. How are you doing mentally, physically, spiritually, with all that we see going on right now in the world? I think you'd have to be under a rock to think that everything was copacetic, right now. That doesn't mean we just concentrate, like I said, on all the garbage, which sometimes I'm tempted to do. But how are you doing? Do you have faith in God that He's in control of your life? Why or why not? So let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would take these simple words, these simple passages that I've shared with the people today, that you would indelibly write them upon our hearts, that you would recall them to our mind and our heart. Oh God, that you would be in control of all that we do, all that we say, that we would be able to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. Lord, I cast the people's cares on you, Lord. I give them to you right now. I just pray for everybody that listens to this today, tomorrow, and the future, that it wouldn't be a troubling time to them, but your peace would descend upon them. Your answers would descend upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace give I to you. Peace give I to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Peace give I to you. Walk in His peace, friends. Receive His peace. Hallelujah. Receive His insurance. Amen and amen. I'll see you next week with the first chapter. Let's see what it is. I'm going on long here. The first chapter we're going to read. The first chapter, A Searcher Searches. Great chapter. A Searcher Searches. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Be blessed.